Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States on September 11th, 1991.
Certain that we stand at a defining hour. Halfway around the world, we are engaged in a great struggle in the skies and on the seas and sands. We know why we're there. We are Americans, part of something larger than ourselves. For two centuries, we've done the hard work of freedom, and tonight, we lead the world in facing down a threat to decency and humanity. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future. If it is possible, I want to continue to build a lasting basis for U.S.-Soviet cooperation for a more peaceful future for all mankind. The triumph of democratic ideas in Eastern Europe and Latin America and the continuing struggle for freedom elsewhere, all around the world, all confirm the wisdom of our nation's founders. Tonight, we work to achieve another victory, a victory over tyranny and savage aggression.
Good evening. Welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio. From 1991 to 2001, I drove truck over the road. When Bush Sr. made this speech, the New World Order, it was a wake-up call. I listened a little to Rush Limbaugh in 1992 to 1995 while driving 10 to 12 hours a day. If anyone called in and mentioned the New World Order, he was labeled a wacko immediately. Today, it has been used many times in the media, and we now know who the real wacko is. A couple of months ago, I found Farida Dinkum Radio by doing a Google search on Mystery Babylon. Leon Pittard is from Australia. What is happening in America, in many instances, has already happened in Australia. They have taken the guns and they have a carbon tax. What we see happening to Australia will soon affect us also, because the New World Order agenda is for the whole world. It's not a New World Order. They're just reestablishing the old world order. The message for this broadcast is, which box do you belong to? It's an hour-long broadcast by Leon Pittard. Tonight I'm playing half of the broadcast, and tomorrow, the 17th of February, we'll play the other half. Leon delivers the message with clarity and meaning. Now here is the first half of this broadcast. Which box do you belong?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to FairDincomeRadio.com. My name is Leon Pittard and I am your host. FairDincom Radio is here to help promote individuality, freedom and truth. Individuality meaning to promote independent thinking, critical thinking, away from the collective. To be able to think outside the box, to examine the issues that we are confronted with today in many different areas from an outside perspective, away from the mainstream media and the mainstream collective thought process of humanity. Hence, the title of our podcast today is, Which Box Do You Belong To? First, a warning. This podcast will contain references to scripture and history. If you are not willing to have your world or religious views challenged, you should leave now. The contents of this podcast could prove disturbing. There are opposing forces at work within the world today. They are the forces of two mighty powers. On one hand, you have the forces of the Creator, Yahweh. His kingdom is that of light, the kingdom of day. He is the author of life, health, happiness, joy, love, righteousness, goodness, and peace. This kingdom does not believe in war. On the other hand, we have the forces of Lucifer, or Satan. His kingdom is the kingdom of war, kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of night. He is the father of lies, hatred, suffering, sickness, deceit, treachery, and death. While we attempt to expose these works of darkness, works of wickedness, of corruption and deceit, it is important to realize that it is not the corrupt, lying humans that we are dealing with. We are dealing with principalities and powers of darkness. We are dealing with a conspiracy that goes back thousands of years, as we documented recently, back to the ancient kingdom of Babylon and its founder, Nimrod. And it even goes back before him, to the father of lies, Lucifer. See, the scripture says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It is only in the light of understanding that we are fighting against, that what we are fighting against is not just the day-to-day political battles, which consumes the focus of most of the population. It is not just the day-to-day issues that the mainstream media can and does focus on. It is a broad spectrum warfare against every aspect of humanity. Every aspect of humanity's faculties are under attack: mind, body, and spirit. It is a broad-based psychological warfare. It is a broad-based physical warfare, and it is a broad-based spiritual warfare. It is only upon the examination of these two opposing forces that we can correctly analyze and see what is going on in the time we live in. You have heard many people say, even in the alternative media, that it is time to wake up or open your eyes. These references are all connected to spiritual applications. They are a biblically based thought in coming from a situation of darkness or blindness to that of the day or seeing. The scripture describes it in this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:5. It said, "You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Now, Paul is speaking of those who are following the true God. Those who follow the true God, Yahweh, are children of light. Whereas those who choose not to, those who choose to stay in darkness, are of the night. In another verse, in Acts 26:18, it's speaking about the role of the Messiah. It said to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto Yahweh. So this is the work of the gospel, to wake people up, to open their eyes. As I have explained in the past, the New World Order is made of three main pillars: political, economic, and religious. Therefore, we need to examine every one of these to understand how the system is encroaching into our everyday lives and stealing away not only our liberties, but our ability to think critically. The scripture describes these three main pillars as three unclean spirits like frogs that come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. It says in Revelation 16, 13, 14, they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of Yahweh Almighty. These spirits of devils work through the various systems that the New World Order has developed to incorporate their workings. They work through corporations to maximize profits and riches for the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth at the expense of the working class and the common man. These corporations are not only commercial enterprises such as Coles and Woolworths, but include modern-day green groups such as Greenpeace and the World Wildlife Fund, which enjoy tax exemptions and government passes for their associated activities. Also, many tax-exempt foundations have been set up and operate worldwide as front companies for the clandestine activities of the social engineers, conducting research into genetic engineering, genetic modification, biotechnology, nanotechnology, and indeed the genetic engineering of humanity. They work through banking institutions to further enslave the common man into a state of servile obedience to a system that he believes he cannot escape from. They work through political parties and political institutions to bring about legislation and statute laws, or Roman laws, with the primary purpose of controlling the activities of the common man. Through the education systems, these spirits of devils work. Through education systems and institutions, the common man is led to believe he has a choice in his future, in the systems that have been developed. He is taught that his vote in a particular political party or a particular politician will change the state of things, and that a brighter future can be had by all if he participates in the system. I want to think for a moment about the Delphi technique. The Delphi technique and consensus building are both founded in the same principle, the Hegelian dialectic of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, with synthesis becoming the new thesis. So what is this Hegelian technique? It is the way to bring about the planned outcome by making each individual think it is actually his idea. It is a type of social psychological programming. The goal is a continual evolution to the oneness of mind, the collective mind, the holistic society, the holistic earth. This oneness of mind is the New Age God's ultimate goal for the inhabitants of the earth. This oneness of mind is called similar things in different religions, like to the Greens, it is called a global consciousness. To the sustainable environmentalist, it is called a communitarian spirit. To the politician, it is called a consensus position. And to the socialist, it is a progressive mind. It is important to understand that individuality and independence is the enemy of the Hegelian and the Delphi technique. In thesis and antithesis, opinions or views are presented on a subject from various angles. Synthesis is where the opposites are brought together to form a new position. All participants in the process are then to accept ownership of the new thesis or the new position and support it, changing their views to align with the global consciousness or the consensus position. Through a continual process of evolution, a oneness of mind will supposedly occur. This is the aim of the psychological programming of society, making society think that if they can choose between two alternative views, this choice is actually presented as being antisocial, and a compromised position is needed for peace and harmony. This synthesis view is already predetermined by the social engineers, and the people have no say whatsoever in the outcome, even though they are led to believe that they have. This synthesis view has been in the planning for decades, in fact centuries. When I say decades in advance, I mean the overall plan is a total, controlled, culled humanity. But the detail, the day-to-day policies, are all instrumental in bringing about the end result, which is this: the centralized world governance of all resources, food, water, and humanity. The destruction of national identity and the elimination of independent nation states. All national sovereignty is removed, and a false reality of this order is created. Now let's move on to our topic. Which box do you belong to? You have no doubt been questioned or asked at some time, which political party do you belong to? Or which football club do you follow? Or which church do you belong to? I receive emails every week asking me what religion I belong to. I will get to that later. As we go along, you will see why I do not declare what religion I belong to. It is not a case of honesty or hiding. It's just a plain impossibility that you will see as we go along. In the course of my daily life, I have the opportunity to talk to lots of different men and women from all different backgrounds and walks of life. Most of them are truck drivers, labourers, forklift drivers, office workers. As I speak to them about current themes and events that we feature here on Fair Dinkum Radio, events and themes of importance, they often say to me, well, what religion do you belong to? Ah, yes. Which box do you belong to? Which box can I put you in? It is often the case that when you do want to engage your fellow man about matters of faith, the typical response is, well, I'm a Roman Catholic, or I'm a Church of England. This is really code for, leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it. It is really code for, I do not know what I believe, but I know which box I belong in. I have family in Melbourne who are very religious about their AFL. It is a religion to them. And during the course of visiting with them, I was amazed as a boy that everywhere I went, my uncle would have a conversation with anyone, anywhere, about the AFL. And invariably the question was asked, who do you barrack for? Or which box do you belong to? I remember during one encounter that started off cordially, it ended up with two grown men yelling and shouting at each other about a disagreement that took place on the field the week before. I remember at the time as a young man wondering what all the fuss was about. I remember my uncle telling me as we were driving off that everyone hates Collingwood. He then went on to explain that at some distant time in the past, Collingwood were the bad boys of the AFL, and still were. Of course, in my uncle's mind, Geelong were a better box, a better team. This was the box he belonged to, and he would defend it with his life if necessary. However, the other box was always at fault. he could always point the finger to the other box. And the people that were in that box as being the problem. They were not able to think like those in his box. But it was never his box's fault. Which box do you belong to? Most of you would relate to the scenario where, upon talking to a fellow man about current politics, the conversation being about social welfare, the advocate of social welfare would proudly declare that they're Labor voters. And on the other hand, the advocate for a free market would passionately defend the Howard years of Liberal rule Australia. And if you've been caught up in a conversation like this, you would have been asked, well, which party do you support? Or, which box do you belong to? Let's examine the box for a moment. A box is a container. So let's examine the origin of the word. Contain means to hold something within. It comes from Middle English or Old French, conteneur. It means to keep within the boundaries. Picture a box. It has sides, a bottom and a top. Something is placed inside and is contained within the box. The whole object of the box is so that the things within inside cannot escape. You are contained within the box. A box and a container are similar. Similar, a political party, a club or a church is merely a group of people that are a collective inside a box. So we can see that this box is a container to restrict or to hold a collective group of people within. Which box do you belong to? Now, all these boxes, and it doesn't matter which one it is, have their own rules, their own themes and their own beliefs, whether you apply it to politics, sport, or religion. And these are the three realms that I will deal with in this podcast. Now, if you want to belong to a collective, you have to stay within the box. You have to abide by the rules. Otherwise, you risk being isolated and condemned or cast out because your thinking or your actions do not reflect the box. The left-right paradigm in politics is a fiction. It only works as some kind of reality when you give it life by claiming you are on one side or the other. Still, it remains a useful fiction used to deceive and manipulate the masses. I will endeavour to point out that whatever box you choose to belong to, ultimately, the New World Order marches on. The agenda will continue no matter which box you may think is better, or no matter which box you think may save you or your country. And again, what is that agenda? It is the centralised world governance of all resources, food, water and humanity. It is the destruction of national identities and the elimination of independent nation states. All national sovereignty will be removed, and the creation of a false reality of this order, so that the masses actually think that the new order is necessary and it has come about because of their choice. A new box is created and needed. So let's examine boxes in politics to begin with. As we began this podcast, I pointed out that the spirits of devils work through all politics, all corporations, and all churches. Yet the common man is led to believe that he has a choice which will change the course of the future. Every week, I receive emails of notification of a new political party or a new group of men that will save Australia. Today, we are presented with the choice of the left or the right? In our country, the Labor-Greens coalition or the Liberal-National coalition? And of course, you have many of the common man saying, well, they are all liars anyway. Now, most people know that politicians lie. The question today is, do we really have a choice? The last federal election has shown that the people's choice means nothing as the agenda continues despite what prospective MPs might say. Let's look at both parties for a moment in the light of ceding national sovereignty to the United Nations and other globalist initiatives. Keeping in mind the question, which box do you belong to? Let's think of the Labor-Greens coalition. Many will remember the years of wasteful spending under Labor. This is always presented as social equality or social justice, but has always ended in the country being burdened with debt for decades in order to get the books back into balance. Meanwhile, the culture of money and getting money from the government, the dole, becomes embedded in the culture of youth and education systems, to the extent that it becomes acceptable to finance a destruction of a nation's borders to accommodate and finance all those who arrive from the workers and the common workers' pay without their consent. The current generation grows up thinking in reality that it is big business that Labor is penalising, without realising that it is that business which employs them into the future, and that the government has no money. Remember, Labor courts big business. Lynn Fox is a friend of Labor, and so are many other large corporations, and the current slanging match between Swan, Reinhardt, Palmer and Forrest is only a smokescreen. Socialism needs corporations. Socialism and the corporate sector represent the public-private partnerships of Agenda 21. Think for a moment of the mining tax deal as an example. The socialist forces were at work behind closed doors with BHP, Xstrata and Rio Tinto. The deal was struck. Socialist corporate partnership. This is how it works under fascist governments. They do a deal with their mates get tax-exempt status, and all the others who are uncooperative are run out of business. Remember, no individuality will be tolerated under the New World Order. So Labor presents this option. Trust us. We will provide. We will pay everyone something and steal it all off the working class, while pretending to look after the working class. This is the false reality that is created. And business, to pay the non-working class and the bureaucratic class and the governing class. This is the culture of Labor that may have started with the intent to help workers, but has now become entrenched in kickback corruption, theft, dishonesty, and completely behind the world government globalist agenda. Think of the environmental record of the Labor-Green coalition. It is obvious, and the implications of environmental policy is obvious. It is under the present Labor-Green coalition that we have the world's largest carbon tax, an upward ratcheting theft system openly designed to shut down industry and penalise effort and production of anything. The social engineers are openly calling for a post-industrial world, a shutdown of the West, while using slave labour in China and India. Once again, a false reality is developed. Increasing the cost of energy, which is the production base of any country, thereby crippling industry and increasing poverty. We should be the richest nation on earth, but this is not the plan. We must pay what the world parity price is. We are not allowed to be rich, as we are told that the environment will suffer as a result. Now, I have light bulbs blowing every second week. I pay four times the cost for what? Nothing. but increase poverty. This is the object of the carbon tax, to place pressure on households, to force them into more poverty and more reliance on the socialist system to keep them alive. This interdependence is exactly the plan of the socialist world order. Unless, of course, you own an approved green company that will enjoy tax credits and payoffs. This is modern fascism. Public-private partnerships. Government-sanctioned business which pays off the individuals in the bureaucratic system. This is why there are hundreds of companies in league with a corrupt government, all benefiting from the green programs that exist. Windmills, solar energy, all on the payoff list. This is modern fascism, and if you speak against it, you will be isolated, condemned, possibly jailed, and eventually killed. Today, billions of dollars is sent offshore through UN agreements and treaties, without the Australian people having a say. A destruction of national sovereignty, with the UN getting everything they ask for. Let's think for a moment of the Liberal government. For those who have the tendency to think that the Liberals will save the country, think again. Let's look at a couple of events that took place under a Liberal government that should make us realise that the option is not really an option. It was under the Howard government that we were given a GST. Yes, a broad-based consumption tax that we never had before and have been yoked with ever since. Once again, with an open-ended tax which can be increased at any time. Remember we were told that it would replace many other taxes? Many of those taxes still exist today. And we were clearly told the states would receive the revenue back, which today the federal government decides how it is divided up. So we now have federal jurisdiction over something that was once a state-based localised decision. And ever since the introduction of a GST, all our cost of living has increased. End quote. Remember, the GST was sold to the people as tax reform, a reform that has cost the people more. Let's think of gun laws for a minute. It was under the Howard government that the nation of Australia was disarmed. Now, I want to point out that I do not advocate that we all should be armed, but I do think we should have a choice. Anyone that has followed and looked at the events of Port Arthur know that there is something wrong with the official version of events of what took place that day in Tasmania. A simple investigation of available evidence reveals that in no way could Martin Bryant have been responsible for the events of that day. And yet we have a Liberal government, together with a corrupt police force and a complicit judiciary, in a hurry to make a verdict and condemn a patsy for the killings that occurred that day. Let's think of the environment for a moment. It was under the Howard government
Greetings. Which box do you belong to? All right, just a minute there. The reason I put this broadcast together was to introduce Fair Dinkum Radio. I found Fair Dinkum Radio about a month ago while doing a Google search on Mystery Babylon. Why I think it's so important is because Australia is under the same pressure, and some of the same things are they're a front runner. In other words, they've taken their guns, and they also have a carbon tax. The question is, which box do you belong to? I have a caller here. Let me see if I can get that caller. I think it's a caller from Alaska.
Yes, it is. Walt, how are you this evening?
Fine, fine. Anyway, I don't know if you'd ever listen to Leon Pittard's lecture there on which box do you belong to?
I had not heard that one before. I've heard him before and actually had him on the show. And, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of similarities between what they're going through there in Australia, England, Canada, and what we're seeing here in the United States. And I think people need to take a cold, hard look at those other countries, because what's going on there is what either is here or fixing to come here directly as soon as they can get it in place.
Yes. I think it's just, in other words, it's, you know, it's just a front runner of what is going on. What I wanted to comment on here is to the second half of this broadcast will be broadcast tomorrow night. I only have 45 minutes a night, so you had the first half hour, and so the second half hour is tomorrow night. You'll find it very interesting, his clothes. So which box do you belong to, Lori?
None of the above, as near as I can tell. My kingdom is not now of this world, so I don't think I fit into any of those worlds.
Our box is of the creators. You know, and so
yes,
we don't fit in any box.
And they don't like that. Yes, don't like that.
No, and whether you're part of them or against them, in other words, individuality is an enemy of the New World Order. And it's always been that way. The old order was the same way. You know, you couldn't be an individual. You didn't have freedom of speech, freedom of press, or freedom of religion. And that's where we're going. That's where they're taking us, right back to the old order.
Yeah, they call it a new world order, but I agree with you. It's just the old world order reemerging. It went underground for a while, and now they're coming back with a vengeance.
And this time they're coming, they're using technology and psychological warfare.
Yes, they are.
And this is what Leon was talking about. And it's amazing how many boxes they put us in. And when you look at the TV, when you're watching the TV, you're not in a box, you're in a straitjacket.
Well, now, Walt, I'd have to disagree with that statement. They didn't put us in that box. We have stepped into those boxes. Now, we were coaxed and enticed, but we voluntarily stepped into those boxes.
But those boxes were built when you were still in the crib.
This is true.
So, so, in other words, don't think that we have all been in a box, especially if you've been in any kind of organized religion. If you're in an organized religion, you're in a box. You're in a container.
If you get that old rabbit trap out and set it and put a carrot in there, a rabbit will come. Did you put him in the box, or did the rabbit go in the box after the carrot?
Say that again now.
I said, if you bring that old rabbit trap out that great-grandpa had, and you set that trap and put a carrot in there, the rabbit will come and the rabbit will go in that box. Now, did you put him in the box? Or did the rabbit go in the box by himself? He was enticed by the carrot, and
that's right.
What happened. Yeah.
Well, but with the educational institutions we have what we've been brought up into, there's no unescapable. The only escape is God's word. In the secular world, is bouncing around like a cork on the Pacific Ocean in a storm, and it's not because of there is no escaping it. I mean, this steamroller that they've got going is from the cradle to the grave. It's like a machine now. This is something that wasn't I didn't experience this 50 years. I mean, I'm 68 years old, and this wasn't as pronounced as it is today. What I'm trying to say is I have a lot of empathy for the young people. Because, in other words, I haven't had to make some of the decisions. I mean, these boxes have been built and been built and on. And so you can't finger somebody in this society for being in a box, because it's so pronounced. And that's why I said that with the advent of the TV, that's a straitjacket. You know, people that they're blinders. I mean, they only see what's coming out of that box. You know. Well, anyway, yeah. I think that I got a little song here that I'm going to play to sign off with, "Amazing Grace." You know. And as
okay,
thanks for having me on.
Before you go, thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you later.
Okey-doke, Lori. I'll talk to you later. And bye for now.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Good night, folks, and thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow night.